folks said that I would change my mind. I'd straighten up and do just fine. Ah, but I still love rock and roll. I keep on rolling with the flow.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Friday morning. Still come on the program from Alabama Today, for Rory Fogle. That's in about an hour. Congressman Bill Brooks will join us in the 11 o'clock hour. Obviously, a candidate for United States Senate here in Alabama. And we'll wrap it up with our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, joins us at the bottom of the hour. 251-343-0106 if you'd like to respond to anything, get to one of these texts real quick before we get to our next guest. No problem I have with the January 6th issue is it's not to deny people opportunity to bail out of jail just because I got a trespassing charge pending on them. Okay, well, we got that on the record, Tim. Thanks for that. Joining us now on the line, he's the mayor of Springville, Alabama, but recently announced during a city council meeting that he is going to run for governor of Alabama. Dave Thomas joins us on the line. Mayor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing very well. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for making time for us. So let's kick it off here. You're talking you're going to run for governor. What led you to this decision? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, quite frankly, a lot of this started with my 55th birthday. Like every year, I had a birthday, but this one seemed to rattle my cage a little bit, and I realized that the clock is ticking a little faster, a little louder as I age, and decided that, it's time to stop talking about doing things and actually get off the bench, step into the arena, and see about getting some things done. So with that, decided to run for mayor, and after that, recognized the opportunity and the need for someone to step up and take the bull by the horns.
Now, a lot of your reading this story from 1819 News, Erica Thomas, mm-hmm. talking about, a lot of what you say here, I think, is you talk about the free market. Obviously, you talk about, I think you got a lot of people's attention, the marijuana issue, but maybe more of a libertarian approach to government.
Well, I subscribe to the philosophy that less government is the best government. I mean, we're a land of the free. I mean, our rights equate to our freedom. And when our rights are in jeopardy, our freedom is in jeopardy. And I just don't believe in the strong arm of the government dictating to people decisions they should be making for themselves. Everybody understands and appreciates and wants their freedom, but not everybody wants to hold up the other end of the bargain or the flip side of that coin, and that is a personal individual responsibility. And I have confidence and faith in the American people and citizens of Alabama to be responsible. I trust them.
Well, let's talk about how that's applicable to policy here in Alabama. You look at the state right now, is, I would argue, maybe kind of an establishment Republican sort of governance. It is what it is. It's the system we put in place. We get the government we deserve under this system. But it looks like there's a lot of things that you would like to see changed about what we have here in Alabama at the state level.
Absolutely. Well, as many have heard, you may well know, if we keep doing the same thing we've always done, we'll get the same thing we've always got. And, you know, looking at the current slate of candidates for governor, we've got career politicians. We've got stuffed shirts that are beholden to special interest. And you know, enough is enough. Again, it was time to just dust off my boots and roll up my sleeves and get back in the arena. Are you familiar with the Teddy Roosevelt quote to the man in the arena?
Lay it on me.
It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbled or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotion that spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat, end quote. I have that on a plaque that I keep on my wall and try to live by those words.
And you know, a lot of that is, I guess, theoretically, yeah, I think a lot of people could get on board with that. But when we dial it down to the state level, just I it looks to me like there's a, on your policy platform here that you're speaking of the other night, just talk about taxation, obviously the regulation of cannabis. And a lot of that things at the state that you think if we like we kind of remove that element of government that it's going to improve our quality of lives. Talk on that a little bit.
Well, I think the greatest thing that we can do is to help Alabama families, the hardworking families across this state, keep more of their money, provide a better standard of living for their families. And I think that's the greatest responsibility that we have as a state government and local government, improving the quality of life and expanding the opportunities for that pursuit. So, you know, eliminating the food tax, I mean, that affects everyone. You want to see the economic engine just really take off in this state? Let's talk about reducing taxes, income taxes. There's opportunity to help Alabama families at every turn. But we just seem to have the same old reluctant policy makers doing the same thing that they've always done. And, you know, the very definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. So, you know, let's try some new ideas, take a new direction. Life is a gamble. This is a gamble. It's a risk. But, you know, let's take calculated risks.
Well, let's, you know, I think you're onto something here with taxation and reducing the size of government. Where do you start cutting? We want to shrink the size of government in Alabama. Where are some areas you think that there's room for that?
Well, there's a fine line between shrinking government and redirecting resources. For example, rather than incarcerating people for possession of cannabis, for example, or even some other violations of our current statutes, I'd like to see more resources put into drug programs, rehabilitation, mental health programs. A lot of the root causes of addiction and crime are the lack of resources to deal with those underlying reasons as to why they're pursuing things that are not healthy for them or for the rest of us. They need to be addressed. I'm sorry, just having a little difficulty articulating the rapid thoughts going through my head at the moment. I just want to see the government provide equal opportunities, not this notion of equal outcomes.
Right.
You know, we're guaranteed or promised the right to pursue happiness. We're not guaranteed happiness. We're guaranteed the right to pursue it. And I'd just like to encourage everyone to find what they're passionate about and pursue those dreams. You know, if you turn your dreams into goals, you can take steps to achieve your goals, and before you know it, your dreams become your reality. We need education reform in this state. It's in many different ways. But we take a cookie-cutter approach. Not every student is bound for college. So why in the world are we requiring them to learn to write a thesis paper? By the time a student reaches, in my opinion, the eighth grade, we've got a pretty good idea of what their academic track record is and their capabilities. Now, some, granted, are late bloomers, but, you know, by the eighth grade, we've got a pretty good idea if they're college-bound or not. If they are, let's continue with their academics. If they're not, let's give them an opportunity to discover something that they may be passionate about and give them the tools and the opportunity to pursue that passion.
Joined by Springville Mayor Dave Thomas, candidate for governor. Very pleased to have him on the program. Let's talk about, I guess, the big one here. Let's talk about marijuana in the state. Why is this something that you think is important? And just give us your thoughts generally on that issue.
Well, I think it's absolutely absurd that someone's reputation, their life, their livelihood can be turned upside down over a plant. We've got bigger problems in this country and in this state, namely, you know, the opioid epidemic. That's a result of legal products. It's just time to move forward. I mean, it's time.
Well, when you say move forward, is it do we stop at cannabis? Do we look at other? Is it recreational? I mean, just give me some specifics where you are on drug policy in general in this country. I mean, I think a lot of people would be like, you know, we keep throwing resources at this problem, and if anything, the problem seems to be getting worse in some arenas. It doesn't seem to be improving. Maybe we're more educated and coached up on it, but the outcomes aren't necessarily what we would hope. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, sure. Well, you know, I support the right to grow your own. I believe we should decriminalize and legalize cannabis in the state. I think we ought to expunge the cannabis convictions. I'm not sure. I don't think he's still there. But at one time, 20-plus years ago, when I was in the legislature, I believe there was a gentleman that was incarcerated. Three strikes law affected him. Nonviolent crimes. But he had three convictions of possession. And he was serving life without possibility of parole. You know, you commit a murder, you're guaranteed a parole hearing in 7 years. I mean, the discrepancies are just outrageous. And so, you know, it's time that we addressed this issue. I've been pleasantly surprised. Actually, I shouldn't be all that surprised. But, I mean, the positives have outpaced the negatives 10-1. Easy. I mean, there are fiscal conservatives like myself, social conservatives like myself, who appreciate my stand and coming out and giving them a voice.
And you say social conservatives. Where are you on social issues? Are you more? Do you kind of fall in line with the whole libertarian approach, or do you think we need to the state government needs to play a role in this arena with abortion, with marriage, with transgender regulations or whatever? Is there a space for the state government for that to play a role in that?
Well, there is, and that is simply to make sure that no one is discriminated against and we've all got the equal opportunity.
But as far as, you know, the enforcing the whatever the tenets are of the day, where a lot of religious conservatives are, should that enter the calculus?
Well, I don't know that anyone should be excluded. You know, we need to have these conversations and be rational, intelligent, and adult about it all. You know, the very first piece of hate mail I got, and it's really been one of the few, was Wednesday morning. I was sent an email that said that I am not an example, not a good example or a bad example, but not an example for children, and I'm terrible. I just kind of chuckled, and I thought, you know, what's worse, perpetuating the propaganda or being honest with our children? I mean, alcohol is legal. What better example to show our youth and children that you can enjoy an adult beverage and be responsible? Now, you go past the point and become irresponsible, well, now we've got an issue. We've got a problem. Well, the same thing with cannabis. It's been part of medicine for, 3,000 years? It's only been in the last, 70 years that the stigma has been attached, the prohibition has been adopted. I mean, it's preposterous. And so I'd rather be truthful with our children and our youth than deceptive. And they'll find out, you know, as they age and grow up, that, well, they've been lied to all this time. It's good medicine. And whether it's, you know, recreational, right, to have a good time, or simply to deal with pain or depression or whatever those needs are, you know, for the sick, suffering, and dying, I mean, anything and everything should be made available to them, whether it's approved by the FDA or not. I mean, if they're terminal, why deny them anything?
Right.
You know, it's just common sense. We need a more common sense approach to our cannabis laws.
Mayor, we're up against a break here. Is there any way folks could find out more about your candidacy? You got a website or a Facebook page or something they could look at?
We are working on that right now. You know, I kind of sprung this on folks as far as going public with it because, quite frankly, you know, I'm just not going to be able to compete, I don't think, with other candidates who have tied up big money, have their own big money. I mean, you know,
right,
three of these candidates are multimillionaires that could self-fund their own campaigns. So I have no illusions or delusions of being able to compete at that level.
Well,
this is going to be a genuine grassroots effort.
Well, when you get that up, listen, sorry, I cut you off there, but we got to get to break here. But you're very kind to come on, and we'll try to get you on again real soon.
Awesome. Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Hey, thank you. That was Springville Mayor Dave Thomas there on the line. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Just